dog for me.
Thank you, sir.
Please, sir. Do what we ought to do. And Hale call us that for you, man.
Well, what I was going to do, I was going to have Hale call the governor. Say that we had heard that some governor was saying that we had threatened so forth. What we said was...
What I suspect probably happened is that Keaton said that he had talked to you. And that you were just as anxious as he was to keep troops out of there, but of course, if things got too bad, you'd have no choice.
That's what I said, we've got the FBI people that are infiltrating. They say that they're pretty strong, the Klan. Now we feel that law and order ought to be maintained, and I assume.
Mr. President?
Yes?
He's at the Congressional Hotel having lunch. Do you want me to reach him there?
Yes.
All right.
We will be. Now, I've talked to Attorney General. He feels like this against confidence. Federal court is lenient as they possibly could be. We very few cops only in the balance of it. Well, I think the state is anxious to keep federal troops up there. Well, what I believe, I think, I know that the state is as anxious to keep federal troops up there and out of it as much as we are. And I certainly don't want them to come in. But the state will guarantee law and order. I'm sure. Don't I? I want to work through the state. I mean, that's awful garbled. I can sound that way. Yesterday, five of them in New Orleans,
yes,
were leaking out the story,
yes,
that the president had called McKeithen and threatened him with federal troops,
yes,
and that he was this terrible and high-handed.
Yes.
I called McKeithen and did not in any way threaten him.
Yes.
I said to him, now that the district court has decreed there must be segregation.
Yes.
I think that's specific direction.
Yes.
The question is how that order will be complied with.
Right.
Now the judge informs us that the counsel for the school district, the attorney general, and Jack Vanille or something, is that it? Yes.
Gummiel.
Governor says Jack Vanille. He was in the office with me that day we came up.
Right.
Johnson. Yes, I remember. Says we agreed to the issuance of the order, and they tell me that the local police force consists of a sheriff and a couple of deputies, and that they've had corps workers in that parish, and they haven't been harmed or harassed. But despite this, there's some feeling that that area, being on the border there, Mississippi, there might be some trouble in the school that desegregated.
Yes.
Not from, particularly from school authorities, but maybe from outsiders.
Yes.
Our information is, and very confidential, that there's a good deal of this group that's been operating in Georgia and Mississippi the last few weeks, the Klan people.
Yes.
Governor says, There are probably more up there in that part of the state than anywhere else.
Yes.
The president said. Then we've got FBI people that are infiltrated.
Yes.
And they say they're pretty strong.
Yes.
Now we feel that law and order ought to be maintained, and I assume, and the governor interrupted me, we do too, Mr. President, and we will.
Right.
Now, I've talked to the Attorney General, and he feels like, and this is confidential, that the federal court was as lenient as they could possibly be, and we have very confident that there won't be any violence.
Yes.
I said, well, I know that the state is as anxious to keep troops up here and out of there as much as we are.
Yes.
And I certainly don't want them to have to come in.
Yes.
But if the state is willing to, and if the state is willing to guarantee law and order, I'm sure we won't.
Yes.
I want to work through the state.
Yes.
So we'll give us this opportunity to preserve it, and we'll preserve it.
Yes.
So on. Now, there's no threat in there at all.
Of course not.
And he's very happy about it.
Yes.
I've got a transcript, although I can't tell you that.
Yes.
And the transcript reads good.
Yes.
And I said, I'm sure, Governor, I'll work with you, and we'll leave it this way. Unless something develops that gets out of hand down there, and you let me know, we'll just stay where we are. All right, Mr. President. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Yes.
Now, I don't know whether the newspapers are just pulling me on to get a story, or I don't know whether they are leaking it out. I don't know what kind of a fellow that is. But as I recall it, I haven't looked at it, but you called me and told me that he'd assured you that he'd handle it all right.
He called me on Tuesday, right after we had breakfast, got me on the phone, and said that you'd called him, and that,
Didn't say anything about my threatening him anyway, did he?
No word, but let me finish. And told me that he wanted me to assure you that there would be complete peace and order and law and order in St. Helena Parish. I called you immediately and got you on the phone within 10 seconds. I told you about the conversation. You told me that you were very pleased that all you had done was talk to him like you had talked to the governor of Mississippi on numerous occasions. The governor of New York and other governors, where there was some problem that involved the enforcement of the laws of the states and the United States. And that if he, the governor, wanted to talk with you about it, you would be very happy to discuss it with him. I said, thank you very much, Mr. President. I'll relay that information to him. I thereupon called up the governor and told him that. And this was 5 minutes after he called me. And he was very pleased and thanked me very much. Now, that night, is this, we just talking between us,
Yes. Yes, sir.
That night, I got a telephone call from, the publisher of the New Orleans Times-Picayune, who told me that the governor had called him and said that he had been threatened with federal troops in Louisiana. And I said nothing on it. It could be further from the truth that I knew the whole story. And that, as a matter of fact, the governor called me that very day and discussed the matter with me and asked me to convey his message to the president, that I conveyed it to him, and that the president had told me that all he had done with the governor of Louisiana was to call him so it would make it unlikely that any federal intervention would occur of any nature, type, or description, that the president had information that the Ku Klux Klan was waking in there, and he felt it incumbent upon him to pass that information on to the chief executive of Louisiana. There was no threat, no indication of threat, and that it was a normal communication between the chief executive of the United States with the chief executive of the state of Louisiana. The president, the publisher of the newspaper said that was perfectly proper, and he said, if you get a chance, commend the president for doing that. That's exactly what I would have done. That's the last I heard about it. Heard no more about it, but all week long, I think that governor's been saying just what he said to that publisher.
Well, they tell me that all the Louisiana newspapers can get out of the governor on this subject is a public no comment, but that privately, off the record, the statements are about these threats. Now, what do you think I ought to do about it?
Well, I'm not sure you ought not to call him. I'm told I was going to call you anyway, because I had a report on that meeting that transpired down there yesterday.
from somebody who was in a meeting and who was on our side. And the word I got was that Farbus was kissing himself and Parrish Bryant from Florida all want to be very much for you. Now, of course, McKinton is a guy that talks out of both sides of his mouth. I don't want, you know, we've talked about this, Mr. President. And also that Paul Johnson was inclined to be that way, particularly after the statements that Goldwater had made at Hershey, and with particular reference to his reply to that reporter who asked about your action in Mississippi, and Goldwater said that what you had done was what he would have done, and he came out totally for the Civil Rights Bill and so forth. But that the one thing that they had discussed at the meeting was the question of whether or not the Mississippi delegation would be seated. And if the Mississippi delegation was not seated, then this was a matter which would be of grave consequences in the three states that at the moment seem to be for you, Florida, Arkansas, and Louisiana. This is a report I got out of the meeting now on this leaking it, on this business about saying that he was threatened. I told the publisher exactly what I told you a moment ago, and I think maybe I just call the government and tell him that you were disturbed about it.
All right. Don't think he'd interpret that as another threat.
I don't see how he could. I would say to him that that you had these reports and you were distressed about it, and you were saying that it wasn't. I would put it up as these were newspaper conversation, that it couldn't possibly be him saying that you had talked with Paul Johnson and other governors on numerous occasions, and nothing like this ever happened before. That he was saying that he wanted the lines of communication to be maintained. I would call him. I wouldn't hesitate a minute. Hell, I wouldn't let him get away with it. Listen, we're picking up in Louisiana. I'm not kidding you a bit. And we feel very good about it.
Well, we've got an impossible situation now, because they've already got 15, 20 states that are going to throw out Louisiana. They've only got to have 8.
You mean Mississippi?
Mississippi.
And you can't throw them out.
Well, they're going to throw them out. I talked to some of them this morning. They will not, a black man from Harlem and Los Angeles and Detroit. They've got to more Negroes on the credentials committee than required to file a minority report. It just takes 8 states for a roll call. We've had our people on the phone and they haven't found any state outside of the South up to now that doesn't think that they can afford not to throw them out. It's the damnedest thing you ever saw.
What the hell are they accomplished by throwing them out?
Not one thing, except they say that if they're going to run in Pittsburgh for mayor, they can't say they voted for the governor of Mississippi that killed these boys with these mothers there testifying any more than the them Eastland could vote for Martin Luther King. And they say it would just destroy it. And it's the damnedest thing you ever saw. I've been taking the position, all my men on, that we can't throw them out, and we've got no legal right to throw them out, and they say they got to do it, so they're going to have to do it over my protest. But it's the damnedest thing you ever saw.
Mr. President, somehow or another we got to resolve this thing. I mean,
I wish you'd tell me how, and stay out of the newspapers on it, because they're making it up, but somebody better do some thinking, because I'm handling Vietnam and Cyprus and Congo, and Goldwater's nuclear